Let us pray. Father, as we look at this passage which Barbara has just read to us, our prayer is, open our eyes so that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and Redeemer. In Jesus' name do we pray, and the people said, Amen. The Pharisees are very angry with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and his disciples are just walking along the cornfields on a Sabbath day, and you know, there are 10 commandments which Moses gave to Israel, and according to the fourth commandment, on the seventh day, the day of Sabbath, is a rest from work. However, as they walk along the cornfields, the disciples of Jesus become hungry. So they pick the ears of the corn and help themselves to the corn. Now, they can actually do this on a non-Sabbath day. But if they do it on the Sabbath day, they break the laws. So the Pharisees say to Jesus, look, why are your disciples doing something that is very unlawful on the Sabbath? And then Jesus gives them an answer which sometimes you might interpret as pretty rude to people who are in authority. He says this, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. So Jesus seems to condone his disciples breaking their Sabbath laws. And he refers to this passage in the Old Testament in which David and his followers are trying to escape from the wicked King Saul. They enter the house of God, they grab the consecrated bread and they eat it. And this consecrated bread is only allowed for the consumption of the priests. They break the laws of the house of God. So Jesus is actually saying, if David can break the laws of the house of God, then my followers can break your Sabbath laws. No wonder you see at the end of the passage that Bob has read to us that the Jewish religious leaders become very angry with Jesus. And at the end of today's passage, they start to plot to kill Jesus. Then in Mark chapter 3, Jesus clashes with these Jewish religious leaders again, also on a Sabbath. They are in the synagogue in the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, a man with the shriveled hand is there. They wait to see if Jesus will heal this man with the shriveled hand. So Jesus asks that man to stand up in the middle of the synagogue. Then Jesus asks them this question. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And it is said that the Jewish religious leaders remain silent. Now, I feel that this is a very profound question from Jesus. He does not question the fourth commandment, okay, which is, we shall rest on the seventh commandment. But he's asking a question about the purpose of the Sabbath laws. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? So it starts people thinking, is this the purpose of the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And so here is the man with the shriveled hand. Should we leave him at his crippled condition? Or should we save him and heal him? And here Jesus registers his anger with the man, with the Jewish religious leaders. Mark chapter 3 verse 5. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out his hand and he was completely So we come to this question today of the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. And I'm going to unpack this today as well as try to tie in with Jesus' conversations in Mark chapter 2 and 3 with respect to the Sabbath laws. But to understand this, let us now recap the fourth commandment and let us read the Deuteronomy chapter 5 version of the fourth commandment. Let us read it together. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. So this is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it is very clear. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, and you are to work for 6 days, and on the seventh rest. And the operative expression is, it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. And there was a flip in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, the Jewish seventh day is switched to the Christian first day of the week. Sunday is actually the first day of the week. The Jews observe Sabbath, as you all know, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, roughly. That's the Jewish Sabbath. But what did the Christians do? The Christians actually moved the Sabbath from the Jewish Sabbath to the first day of the week. Why? Why did the Christians do that? And you will find it very evident as you read the New Testament. Firstly, on what day did Jesus rise from the dead? When is Easter celebrated? On a Sunday. Jesus rose on a Sunday, and that's why later on in Revelation chapter 1, you have a reference from John to Sunday being the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Okay? Now, also in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says there that Paul met with the Christians at Troas to break bread. So by the end of the book of Acts, there's already a switch to Sunday being a practice Sabbath, if you like. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul asks the Christians in Corinth to take up collections for a particular cause when he comes to receive them. So you can see how the Sabbath practice of the Jews was moved to the first day of the week on the part of the Christians. So by our time today, to observe the fourth commandment pretty much means to have a worship gathering on a Sunday. Usually it's a morning in which collection is taken, songs are sung, and there is the breaking of bread. Okay, so that's the move. But for some of you who grew up with provincial Sunday laws in the 50s and the 60s, where everything was closed, some of you today still struggle with the retail that's happening on Friday. And the purpose of this sermon is not to engage in that, but to just acknowledge that we are in a struggle to understand the Sabbath law. But I will illustrate by me, okay, how we practice the fourth commandment. I am a pastor. And Sundays are prime time for me in terms of my profession. It is the busiest day of the week for a pastor. So I'm not going to take the Sabbath on a Sunday. I'm going to be working on the Sabbath, okay? So when do I take the pastor's Sabbath? I take it on Monday. So on Mondays, I don't do any church activity. I do not read email. I refrain from doing anything, any preparation for Sunday messages on Mondays. I do it all on Tuesdays. And I'm going to explain further how I practice my Sabbath later. But I just want to share a personal event in my life, if you like. I graduated from university in Australia in early 1985. So between 1985 and 1988, I worked in the marketplace in Kuala Lumpur 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And I was quite involved with my local church. And so I was busy Monday to Friday, and, you know, the firm got the best out of me. But on Saturday and Sunday, I would be working at the church and helping run Bible studies and doing Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. You know, as I did that, I discovered that on a Sunday night, I was so exhausted, and I felt that I couldn't face the challenges of Monday. And so when I later on went to theological school, I dialogued with myself. Is this model that I was living in Kuala Lumpur between 85 and 88 a workable model for people in today? As a pastor, I'm constantly wondering if I can prepare God's people for their work life on Monday mornings. And do I tire the church people for Monday morning by getting them involved with a lot of stuff on Sundays? And these are questions that we have to dialogue, and we will dialogue about it later in this sermon. But I just post this out to you because I want you to realize that the observation of the fourth commandment today is actually a little bit complicated. You cannot approach the fourth commandment as in, say, the 50s and the 60s, when there were provincial laws asking for a common pause day. So how do we do it? I will unpack that in a moment. But let's look again at the encounter between Jesus and the religious leaders. Then Jesus asked them, "What is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Despite the objections from the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus restores this man with a shriveled hand to wholeness. Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. So in some ways, Jesus is saying to everyone in the synagogue, yes, the fourth commandment states we should work on 6 days and on the seventh rest. But there is a deeper purpose to this fourth commandment: to do good and not to do evil, to save life and not to kill it. So the purpose of the fourth commandment is wholesome. It is not restrictive. But for us, we tend to interpret the fourth commandment in rather restrictive terms rather than what I call liberating and wholesome terms. So let us look at the fourth commandment again. The fourth commandment is found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. We have read the Deuteronomy version of it, and now I'm just going to read to you the Exodus 20 version, and then we're going to read together just the verse that's just after the fourth commandment in Exodus 20. So let me read to you Exodus 20, and then we're going to come in on the following verse. Exodus 28 to 10. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." And now let's read the next verse together. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we have the purpose of the fourth commandment given at the end here. And we remember this verse in Genesis chapter 1, where just God says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." And then we have a picture in Genesis chapter 1, the start of Genesis chapter 2, actually, of God resting. So imagine that these are the 6 days of creation. God looks back. And after he looks at creation, he says, "Boy, that's a pretty good deal I've done here." And you know what God does? He, on the seventh day, puts his feet up on the lawn chair and enjoys the beauty of creation. That's what God does. If you don't mind me telling you the Pai Chu paraphrase of Genesis chapter 2 of it. And all I'm just trying to say is that the fourth commandment is given for a celebration of creation. For a celebration of creation. God continues his work of creation in us when we carry on the 6 days of the week. I believe that God is still exercising his creativity in us. And on the seventh day, we rest. We rest like God who rested on the seventh day. We follow the pattern of life that God has set for us in creation. So that's the first reason for the fourth commandment, the celebration of creation. Now let's look at the equivalent passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and you have the same 6 days you shall work, seventh day you shall rest, and look at how Deuteronomy ends that commandment. Let us read together the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy. "Remember that you are slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So whereas in Exodus there is a view back to creation, in Deuteronomy there's a view back to the Exodus, the time in which Moses liberated Israel from the slavery in Egypt. In other words, salvation. Moses tells the people of Israel that as they celebrate Sabbath day, they are celebrating their liberation and their salvation from Egypt. When you rest on the Sabbath day, remember there was a time you were slaves in Egypt. And when you were slaves in Egypt, remember all the difficulty and hard life you had. And remember on the Sabbath day, when you have to celebrate the Sabbath day, you rejoice that you are no longer in Egypt, but you are now here in your promised land. You rejoice in your salvation. So, Jesus mentions the purpose of the Sabbath is to do good and not evil. Not to kill life, but to save it. Why? Why does he say this? Jesus says that because when we rest on the Sabbath day, we celebrate creation and salvation. Creation and salvation. So now we're going to go into some practicalities of the fourth commandment. And I'm going to illustrate this by my personal life, if you don't mind. On Sunday evenings, I prepare for the Sunday worship gathering the upcoming Sunday. So tonight, I'm going to do the order of service for next week. After I do that preliminary order of service, now, there's 1,001 things to worry about as the pastor of the church, right? But what I do is, after I do that, for the next 24 hours, I turn off the church email for the next 24 hours. And I take the pastor's Sabbath. Now, when I take the pastor's Sabbath, it's something risky, right? Because you know I'm a workaholic, okay? I have to trust God that as I take the pastor's Sabbath, and as there are some unanswered questions about church life, I have to trust God to work out the details, work out the salvation, use his creative ability on the problems I have. So I believe that on my Sabbath, Monday, God continues to work while I rest. And I choose to rest because God is working his purpose in his time. But you all know that at the end of those 24 hours on Tuesday, I turn on my church email again. I get up to date with my email on Tuesday afternoons. I prepare the first draft of my sermon on Tuesday mornings. So you can see that I rest, okay? Now, something that I want to define, which is rest. Rest for the Sabbath day. So what do I do on my Sabbath? I exercise, because I love doing exercise. But I also do things like reading. See, I'm not going to be strict like the religious leaders in Jesus' day. You can do this, you can't do this. I'm not going to legislate on that. Rest for me, and this is the operative expression. Rest for me is defined by what I do. It is not defined by what I cannot do. That is rest. It is up to you to decide what is rest for yourself. And it is up to you to decide on it in what I call positive terms. But do not have a Pharisaic approach towards rest and think about what you cannot do all the time. You end up just being frustrating yourself as you do that. So I now move from Pi's life to your life. In this complicated work life today, I believe that the fourth commandment is important. The fourth commandment is important because we live in a rat race world. Everyone's trying to get on top of each other, and pretty soon you get sucked into that thing. And I believe that the fourth commandment is a commandment for us to rest and trust God. 6 days we shall work, and on the seventh day, rest and remember God. Rest and remember God. Now, there are some who do shift work and cannot be here on a Sunday morning. And they are preparing for the graveyard shift on Sunday evenings. Or I think of some who work in essential vocations like nurses and firefighters. They work on Sundays too. So I don't think you can legislate across the board that everyone needs to be here on a Sunday morning to observe the Sabbath. I believe that we need to grab hold of the principle, 6 days we shall work, and on the seventh day, rest and remember God. And so those nurses and firefighters, those people who do graveyard shifts, they can schedule their own Sabbath on a non-Sunday. And as I said, I'm pretty open to what rest is. Rest for them can even mean doing their laundry on that day they have off. It is not for me as a pastor or for the church to legislate what your Sabbath rest is. It is you for you to decide what is rest, and it is an issue between you and God. And I am not going to legislate or tell you what to do. But the most important thing is that you observe the Sabbath commandment. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day, rest. And I will end with Jesus, with Mark's characterization of Jesus. And the real key thing as we look at the Sabbath rest is this. Do we trust God? Do we truly trust God that He will keep working for us and work out His purposes while we rest? Because I think that's the key. I found it very difficult in my early days of observing the fourth commandment to leave it up to God, to rest and let Him figure out what needs to be done. So let's look at this final verse and let us read it together, because it goes to the crux of who we believe Jesus to be when it comes to the Sabbath law. So let us read this together. Then He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So Jesus makes this point. The Jewish religious leaders imposed their man-made laws on the fourth commandment. Jesus allows His disciples to pick the ears of corn, and He heals the man with the shriveled hand on the Sabbath, because He says that there are deeper reasons to observe the Sabbath, which is the celebration of creation and the celebration of salvation. And he says that he is the Lord, or Mark says, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So when he has the authority to do good, not evil. He has the authority to save life and not kill it. Why? He can do this because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the God who created the earth and on the seventh day rested. He is that God. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And that is the God we entrust our Sabbath to when we rest on that day. I'm going to end with a minute of silence here. There are a lot of issues in your life that's keeping you from resting and trusting in God. In this minute of silence, I want you to leave it up to the Lord and ask God that He will give you rest. So just unpour them on Jesus right now. A minute of silence. Whatever issues you have in your life, ask the ability to rest, for the ability to rest. So, Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, the God who created the Sabbath for human beings, we entrust these problems to you, and we pray for the ability to rest while you work on these problems. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.